Welcome to the Home and Family Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Jody Chafee, and I'm so excited today to have Terry Hunt as my guest today. Terry is a professional teacher for 17 years, a passionate mother of three girls, and a proud wife of 13 years. These key roles have taught her about impact and what it really means. Every day, the lessons she teaches, the words she speaks, and the patience she extends leaves an impression that is far-reaching. It is for this reason that she has dedicated her life to ensuing the work she does through classroom instruction, curriculum writing, and professional development training that is both intentionally designed and masterfully delivered. Welcome, Terry. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So awesome. I was looking over your website, looking at what you do. This is so exciting to connect with. I feel a kindred spirit in family and in education, and I'm so excited. So tell us about where Terry Teaches came from and this concept of, you know, your superior guidance.
Okay. Yeah.
What is that all about?
Well, I'm glad you said it that way, because superior guidance is actually where it all started. My husband, he's a psychologist. He is also a pastor. And so when we got married, we kind of had this coming together of the minds, understanding that the whole person is, you know, their spiritual understanding, their emotional well-being, their educational well-being, all of that. And we were like, wow, we have something here between the two of us that really is a bigger idea, right? And we wanted to create a space where we would lead people to an understanding of the balance of all those areas. And so from there, we came up with this idea of superior guidance, leading you into your greatness, guiding you into a superior living, because you're balanced, right? When you're balanced, it's going to be a superior living than just kind of being out of whack.
Yeah.
And so from there, we have all these different spaces where we move and grow and help people develop. But then I have been a teacher for almost 17 years. And through that, I started noticing that the conversation that I was having in the classroom with parents or on the streets with parents, especially when I had my first child, parents and teachers and individuals would come up to me and they would say, well, how do you get your daughter so early to ... you know? Yeah. And it just kind of started turning into this idea of, oh, I want to teach you. I want to show you. Let me show you. And he just calls me Terry Teaches because I'm always teaching something. You know, in church, I'm always using my teaching strategies to teach something. And it just kind of has developed into that. And so through Terry Teaches, I really am instructing in all areas through everything. But the best thing about Terry Teaches is it really comes from what I do for my own children, right?
Mm, yeah.
So everything that I develop, everything that I teach, everything that I learn, I put everything into it.
Mm-hmm.
And what pours from that is what comes out to everyone who is around me. So we do ACT, we do SAT, we do writing, we do speaking, all sorts of stuff. It's very, very cool. I like it.
I love that. I love that. I love that you're talking about this superior meaning, like the whole person, the whole balance, the spirit, the mind, the body, the everything, you know, that's awesome. So what would you say is like the main like mission of your organization or of your
teaches,
you know?
So the mission of Terry Teaches is to help people come to an understanding of how to bring their ideas into a format that they can structurally and strategically assist someone else in understanding what it is that they do. Right. So I create processes and I create structures and I help others create those same processes and structures in their own lives or in their own construct that helps them to strategically assist someone else in doing that thing or doing whatever it is they're doing.
Wow. I love that you said that word construct, because that was something that in this idea around family culture is that it's like, you know, what are the constructs or the mindsets or the, you know, the ethos that we are growing up in or, you know, existing in, that every family has a unique construct that makes them who they are. And so that's cool. That sounds like what you do is like allow them to take the knowledge that you have and then adapt it to what is consistent for their families and their values or their organization.
Yes, because I appreciate you saying it that way, because one of the things that happens when I work with people is they expect that I'm going to give them all the answers. Mm-hmm. They expect that I'm going to lay out, because essentially that's what traditional school does. It says, if you do this, 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 then you'll be amazing. Well, you know, I'm trying to move my children. I'm trying to move the world around me into a direction where we think for ourselves. We evaluate our space. We evaluate the people in our space. And we design and create something that is truly magical and amazing for who we are in that space. It's the same thing in our family, right? Mm-hmm. I teach families how to create their fam. I'm not doing anything but creating the space for them to have conversations with their family and their children, identify who they are, and then from that develop something that's truly magical and unique for their families.
Wow. I love that so much. Just being able to just have that self-expression and self-actualization. It's like so crucial. It's something that so many, I feel like I never got that chance growing up in my education. I feel like I was always told, you know, make sure you go to school and get good grades and prepare to have a marketable degree, quote unquote, that it's like, okay, but what does that even mean? And anymore, it could mean anything. But I love that to be able to learn in a way that allows you to self-actualize and figure out what is my superpower. Right? Like, what is my thing?
That's going to be. That's like my favorite word ever. All the time. You have superpowers.
It's so important to find it and to help our kids to find it.
Yes. And, you know, I remember when I was in school, I'm an educational psychology major. And so I remember being in school, they would talk to us about these phases and how the ultimate is self-actualization, and how when you get to your 90s and you finally reach that self-actualization, I was like, well, I don't want to be 90 and, you know, forgot everything. I don't want to spend my whole life hoping for self-actualization.
Yeah.
And when I realized that I could help my children get to a place of self-actualization so that, again, they could experience that superior life that comes when you have a security in who you are. You know who you are. You know how to articulate who you are. You know what you enjoy and what you dislike. And you reach that place, you spend the rest of your life really enjoying life.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't have to be, I mean, when you're 90, who knows if you're going to make it that long? And then you're going, oh no, I'm never going to live my fullest. Oh, wait.
I won't get it there
anyways. I'll be 90 anyways.
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah. So when you were talking about helping families cultivate or discern this, you quote, put air quotes in the fam. Okay. Yeah. What is that all about?
Like, so it's the acronym that we use in our family, right? We're creating the fam. And the reason I say that we are creating the fam is because the fam changes. Right? It's the family, and the family changes. Before there was only one kid, and then there was kids, and then there was three kids, and then one of the kids went to college. And so the fam is always changing. And so you have to get to the place where you can create the fam. And the fam really is just FAM, right? And the family or the fam has a foundation. And then you understand the attributes of all the people in that fam. And then those two things help you move, right? It helps us define how we're going to move forward. It helps us figure out what our next decisions or what our next moves are going to be. But you can't really understand the movement of your family or the direction that your family needs to head into until you have a foundation. That's your vision and your mission and your core values. And then you understand the attributes or the characteristics or the likes and dislikes of all the people in the group, you know? Mm-hmm. Because once we know those two things, then we know how to move. We know what direction to go into. And so we create the fam often. We had to recreate the fam when my oldest went to college. When I tell you that was like the most devastating thing for the two younger ones, and we had to help them understand what that does to the fam, right? What does that do to the attributes that are now in the house? Because 18-year-old, she was the peacemaker between the 10-year-old and the 4-year-old, right? She was the peacemaker. She's not here now. So they're like, and we have to identify these attributes now. Don't have their covering and their massaging and their, so how are you all going to help yourselves get through these spaces now that the fam has changed? And so that's kind of what we mean when we create the fam. We create it all the time.
I love that so much because you're like the family changes, it evolves so much through as your kids grow up and go through different life stages and like being able to adapt to those changes. That's awesome. I love that you spelled that out so well to have the foundation, know your attributes, be able to move forward. Because like I compare family culture to like, this is a journey, right? We're getting, it's like a road trip. You know, we're all getting in this car together. We're going to see, all right, what's our foundation? I like that to be able to say, who are we? What are we doing here? And where are we going? Mm-hmm. We don't want to just, get in the car and then just flip a coin every time we want to make a choice or something. We need to know who we are and that our choices matter, that it makes a difference. Yeah. And we're going to impact that.
And when you talk about it in the terms of this is our family and you approach it in a very guiding format, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm helping my kids adapt structures and adapt strategies that help them be great in all of the other areas that they're going to go into. How do we solve problems here? How do I get along with my sister here when I don't want to be bothered by her instead of screaming at her?
Right.
How do I ask her to give me my space in a way that respects her and honors our core values of love in our family? Right. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? So every time I give feedback to my children, I'm asking them, what's our foundation? What is our mission? What's our vision? Like, who do we see ourselves as? And how do you do that and help her to see that you don't want her in your space right now?
Yeah.
Well, now when that happens at the playground, you use the same strategies, you use the same ideas. Yeah. And that helps you just to continue to live better in the world around you, you know?
Yeah. So you learn those strategies in the home and then it makes it easier to translate that into life situations or, and practice in situations like at the park or at school or whatever, things like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's good. It's really good.
So what is it? How does this translate? Okay. Let me ask this. What would you say is the biggest obstacle that families face to figuring out the fam?
The biggest obstacle that I typically experience is most families have not defined their core values.
Mm.
They've said them, right? People say you're supposed to be good, right? You're supposed to be nice, but we haven't defined what that looks like.
Right.
And because we haven't defined what that looks like, we don't know what it looks like when it's happening or when it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest obstacle is helping, you know, I get into these classes and I teach like the class you saw on my website and they go, okay, well, tell me what your core values are. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, tell me what are some that we should have. No, I'm not going to do that. You have to decide for yourself what it is you believe in here.
Yeah.
Because everyone's core values will be different, are different, should be different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And helping them get to this place of understanding what their core values are.
Yeah.
Another big obstacle that I think I notice a lot is parents' ability to have conversations with their children. Right?
Yeah.
I give assignments and I'm like, you know what, guys, I need you to go home and I want you to have a conversation with your kids and then come back and tell me what you all decided. And they come back and they said, well, I went through and I planned out this thing and then I talked to them and I presented to my, no.
That was not a conversation.
That was not the assignment. The assignment was to have a conversation. Yeah. And 1 year I invited a couple that were going through this process. They were having a really hard time. So we invited them to our house during one of our fam meetings. And Simona at that time was 2. And I turned to her and I said, okay, well, what do you think? And of course, she gave her version of what she thought. But the act of everyone silently turning to her, listening to her, and waiting for her response communicated to her the value of her voice in our space.
Yes.
And now she's 5 and she knows she has a voice and you can't.
She definitely has a voice.
At all. And I think that that is the biggest thing that I try to help parents understand. When you take pause to hear your children, you will begin to understand their core values.
Yeah.
Or what they've seen you tell them verbally or non-verbally, what their core value should be.
Wow.
And that really becomes, you know, a bigger thing.
Yeah. Why is it so hard? Are parents like afraid of getting into a difficult conversation, or that they're afraid of things being controversial, or?
I don't think so. I think the reason that it becomes hard is because we behave the way we were taught. Right. So we discussed earlier that we go to school and we sit in a seat and we take in information.
Yeah.
What we've been taught.
Yeah.
So we go through what, 12, 13, 14 years of that pattern of behavior that we think that that's how you give information. Right. So we come to our kids and we say, these are the rules. What did I say?
Yeah.
Thank you. You've learned something. Everyone leaves the table. And I think that that unlearned process really is the obstacle, but we see it manifesting in our inability to have this conversation with our kids.
Wow. You know,
because even I have unlearning to do. I really do. Because,
everybody, I think,
you know, growing up, I lived in a house where my mom really did encourage conversation. Except when we were in trouble, right?
Right.
Any other time, you know, we could talk and we could debate and we have these conversations. However, when we were in trouble, don't argue, be quiet, hush. And of course, when my child, now I'm telling her to do something and she's arguing back with me, I have to literally hold things because I'm like, arguing with me, but she's sharing her heart towards a situation. And the day that I realized I wasn't hearing her is that she's crying while I'm fussing and she's crying. And she was like, you're not understanding what I'm saying. And I thought I was, she was wrong, you know, but the truth of the matter is whether she was right or wrong, she wanted to share her heart.
Yeah.
And I had to take a minute and say to her, okay, I apologize. What is it that you're trying to say? You know, that is hard. As a parent, that is really, really challenging, especially when you grow up and you want them to not get in trouble for arguing with their elders.
Right. Know? Right.
But, you know, again, that's teaching them. Okay.
Yeah.
You can talk to me, but when you get out there, use me as your advocate. Listen, and then come get your mommy to talk to the adult.
Wow. Wow. I think that's a whole other subject. But before we go on to that, because I know you'd like to talk about advocacy, but yeah. I just, I wanted to touch on this, like that you talked about, you know, these things we have to unlearn. Well, those are the constructs of this. I mean, we talked about constructs, and it's like these things that we grow up with that we almost don't question until something disrupts the norm. And we're like, whoa, wait a second. And then we go, oh, that was something that I just learned because that's how I thought it was always supposed to be. Yeah. So that's awesome that you were able to share this example of understanding, like, well, the way we do conversations in school, it tends to be the way we end up doing conversations at home. Moms and dads are in charge and kids don't really get an input. We teach you, you regurgitate back to us. And then we go, all right, we did our job, you know,
everybody learned.
Yeah. And that's so fascinating to me that it's like, I want to encourage people to like, okay, let's ask questions about like, is this system really effective? Is it allowing our children to really learn? Are we seeing the child for the whole person, like you said, to get that superior perspective that they're a whole person with feelings and opinions and they want to be heard and seen and loved? And so, what I hear you saying though is that like they can talk back in a way that's respectful to you as a mom, right? We want
to have to
be respectful.
Yeah.
And so there's like an appropriate way then to address their concerns. Is that something then that how do you teach your child to appropriately, you know, disagree with you or argue or something like that?
Right. First of all, we model it. Mm. We model it, right? So when I'm talking to my husband, I am modeling for my children how to have a disagreeing discourse.
Right.
Right.
So you wouldn't say to parents, don't fight in front of your kids or something like,
well, if you've learned how to fight,
how do you do that? Okay. So, cause that's what I've heard people say too. It's like, never fight in front of your kids. I'm like, I don't know if they need to be able to see you working out a conflict, right?
Yeah.
Conflict resolution. Yeah.
This is like a big conversation. You and I could have so many conversations right now.
I'm sure.
Because I am passionate about parenting and all things. But I believe that we model for our children how to have discourse in all areas of their life, whether it's in a disagreement, whether it's an agreement, period. Mm-hmm. But we also have to model for them how to set boundaries for their relationships. So there are times when my husband and I are having a conversation where my children will go, but dad, and I will say to them, I'm sorry, you're a spectator, but you are not welcome into this conversation, right? This is between your dad and I, you know? And it could be something simple, like, I mean, what car are we driving today? But there are boundaries, you know? And the same is true for them to understand. They are siblings and they can have an argument and they can be fighting, but there might be a time where a neighbor kid wants to jump in and be on one of their sides and they have to say, oh, I'm sorry, you're a spectator, but you're not invited into this conversation. This is between my sister and myself. And so teaching them how to have those discourses but also set boundaries is really important. So I would typically say to parents, you know, yeah, it's okay for kids to see how you debate or argue or even disagree, right?
Yeah.
If you haven't learned how to not be abusive, well, then you have to decide whether or not you want to teach your children how to have abusive language.
Yeah.
You know? And I use that very weird, like that big word on purpose. Mm-hmm. Because there are some times where us saying little things like, girl, you stupid, that's abusive.
Yeah. Right.
Because our children don't understand that we're joking. They just hear the word.
Yep.
Right. And so I have to be really mindful because, you know, I'm sassy and the way I talk is, you crazy. You know, I have to remember who's listening and I have to pay attention to that. So, you know, I don't know. I kind of went on a tangent. I apologize.
It's okay. It was great.
On point. I do. But question about whether they should fight in front of each other. So,
yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, I asked this question because I think that sometimes because of the constructs that we grew up in, that we need to respect authority, we need to honor our parents, you know, these are important things. And so, but kids want to have a voice too. And so I think it's really important that we teach them like, how to have that voice. And you mentioned that you guys have meetings.
Yes.
So what are your family meetings? What is that all about? What do you guys do for your family meetings?
So, well, our meetings, you know, people ask me, well, do you guys have an agenda? Well, when we're talking about, because my middle child, she has a business and she has a nonprofit. So when we're having business meetings, yes, we have agendas and all of that. But when we have meetings in our family, it's you know, we have a daily meeting, which is the way we close out our day. Mm-hmm. And in that meeting, we often will, you know, whoever is leading the meeting kind of gets to decide what we're going to do. So, but the things that are always a part of our daily meetings are our highs and our lows, which is share with us what was really great about your day and what was really terrible about your day. And then our prayers, right? Those mm-hmm. are the things that have to be a part of every daily meeting. It's the way we close out our day. Then we have monthly meetings, and our monthly meetings are the time in which we kind of look at our schedule for the week, what we've got planned, if there's anything we need to address. One of the things that seems to typically always be on our agenda is nobody's doing laundry. How can we change that? How are we going to fix that? But then we also have like quarterly meetings, and our quarterly meetings have really actually learned into like bi-yearly, like every 6 mm-hmm. months. And that's where we kind of look and see, does anything have to shift? Do we have to recreate the fam? Is there anything that needs to be adjusted? And that's usually when those things happen.
Wow. That's awesome. That's so awesome. I've heard so many different strategies for the family meeting. So I appreciate you sharing your example, because it just shows like everybody has a different strategy, and it fits whatever fits your family's needs, as long as everybody has a voice, right? Like everybody gets to be a part of that community of your family. And so that's so important.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I think that one thing that we often have to remind people is, like, for instance, I started working at home and started working online and doing a lot of tutoring online. And so for the last, I don't know, 6 months, our daily meetings had kind of fallen off. Mm-hmm. And I had to come to my family and basically say, listen, guys, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Really fell off. I'm sorry. Let's get back on. And I think that sharing that we don't always get it right mm-hmm. with the families that we counsel, or the, you know, the parents that we talk to, it frees them to realize like, oh snap, if one, it's not going to be the end of the world. No.
Yeah.
It's honoring and saying to the kids, hey, we forgot. I'm sorry. You know,
yeah.
Back on track. So I think that that's important too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's being honest and real, and it's being vulnerable. I think that being a part of our family and knowing that, okay, we're all imperfect beings, we're all just, you know, learning to figure things out, then that, I feel like that creates more unity and more of a stronger bond with your family too. Being like, I apologize to my kids all the time.
All the time. Like, all the time. You know?
And it's like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I messed up, or I'm sorry I didn't clarify this thing, or I'm sorry, whatever. Like, I mean, I think it's important that if we're going to miss the mark, if we see it coming, it's like, okay, let's prepare for it or something. Yeah. But if it's already passed, okay, I'm so sorry. Like, that was not my intention. And I think that being vulnerable, it allows everybody to develop more integrity and as a unit and individually, right? Like, just being able to be real and be honest.
Yeah. So important. The one thing that I also wanted to talk about, just because you brought up this idea of apologizing to our mm-hmm. children. I remember I had a conversation with a kid one time and they said, you know, what I really love about you, Miss Terry, is that if I get in trouble today, it's like you don't even remember I got in trouble tomorrow. And it's true. You know, if we learn to teach our kids to apologize and we don't hold it over them.
Yeah.
If we just, you know what, I messed up and move on. Parents, we don't have to sit there going, oh man, I got to apologize. And now are you going to hold it? No, because we're teaching them that we make mistakes right now, but it doesn't define right in the next moment. Yeah. It's just, okay, let's recalibrate and move on. And I think that that is a really powerful part of apologizing. Mm-hmm. That has to be a part of the experience.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Let's turn away from that and let's move on.
Well, I think it's important that we are able to talk about those things that we feel are incongruent with our values, or we feel like, oh, this hurt my feelings, or they hurt, you know, I hurt their feelings or whatever. Because then that starts to, if you know, these parents are going, tell me what my values should be. Well, it's like, when do you feel like you've done something that's not congruent with who you are?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that, I think it's important that you are able to talk about that stuff. So then you're starting to recognize and getting that experience and the, you know, understanding, okay, I think we're uncomfortable about that because it is not in alignment with our values.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. I like that. Bring it back to the foundation.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's awesome. I like that. All right, Terry, I could talk to you forever and ever and ever.
I know,
and
right? This is good. This is really good.
Yeah, I maybe, you know, we're just going to have you back again very soon.
Anytime. I love
awesome.
It.
Awesome. So where can we learn more about you and learn more about Terry Teaches and your superior guidance?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook under Terry Teaches. If you go to my Thinkific page, I think we're going to drop the link. That's mm-hmm. kind of where I have all of my courses that I teach. One of the things that I do, I'm a writer, and I love to help parents, teachers. I like to help them bring their ideas, articulate their ideas, and put them on paper, you know, put them in words. So, you know, a lot of times people will reach out to me and ask me, how do I write our core values, right? Mm-hmm. Once we've identified them, because one of the things my kids have to do, they have to memorize the vision and the mission.
Yeah.
Well, it's really hard to memorize a vision and a mission that's not really well written or doesn't have a rhythm to it. And so I work with parents on helping them to just make it work, make it something that is memorable. And so that's a great place to find me, is on Facebook, and just, you know, reach out to me and send me a direct message or connect with me. And then we can always work and develop whatever. Yeah. I think a lot of time my coaches and the people that I work with, they get frustrated with me because I don't have this big price list and, you know, website, because really it's almost counterintuitive to who I am mm-hmm. as a thinker. And if I'm saying to you, this is kind of how we're going to develop this so that it's uniquely yours, it's so hard for me to go, okay, I'm going to create these packages. I'm going to get better at that though.
Well, but it's even incongruent with like what you were just saying about the way that we want to stand over everybody and go, this is how you should do it. And this is a package that is everybody fits inside of that mold. Well, how do you even do that when every family is so different? Every relationship, you know, all your kids are so different. And so I get that.
Awesome. I'm going to streamline it. I was a part of a collaboration, and then we're coming up with a book on February 29th about why we homeschool, right? It's about why we homeschool. And so I think that that will be another way for me to communicate my heart. And my chapter really talks about why I chose to homeschool after 17 years in public school education. You know, my kids, they went to public school, they went to private school, they went to traditional school. And it really talks about why I chose to bring them closer to me, right? To connect them back to me.
And is so that, what's the Cliff Notes version of that?
The Cliff Notes version of the why mm-hmm. is I felt like I had lost touch. You know, I tell a story all the time. Zebras have these stripes and they look the same to all of us, but zebras have a very unique, like a fingerprint, and every one mm-hmm. of their stripes is different. So the mom, when she has her babies, she takes them away from the pack for months at a time. And she just spends time staring at them, and she makes them stare at her, and they just spend all of their time together so that when she introduces them back into the pack, they never are mistaken about who their mom is or about who her children are. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was my why. I felt like we weren't gelling. We weren't connecting. When I would say something, my daughter would go, well, that's not what my teacher said. And like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. We have a fam. Did you forget? You know? Yeah. And I wanted them to come to me so that we could stare at each other, that we could get to know each other again, that we could talk to each other again, so I can learn their attributes, so they can learn my attributes, so that we can connect, so that, you know, whatever happens, I always take things year at a time. I always go, I don't know what I'm going to do next year. Let's take it year at a time. But next year, she said she wants to go to middle school. And for me, that's critical time, right?
Yeah.
But I feel confident that she'll be okay because we've spent all this time staring at each other. She knows my values. She knows what her values are. And so now when she goes, she knows how to communicate. She knows how to protect herself. She knows how to stand up for herself and advocate for herself. Wow. So that's the longer Cliff Notes.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. That's a whole other episode, I think, too. I would love to talk about. This is so, so awesome. So thank you so much, Terry. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your work. I just love what you're doing. So thank you for being here.
And I love what you're doing. I love your platform. I love this idea of just spending some intentional time talking about how to help our kids be amazing, how to help our families be amazing, how to create. So you are doing an amazing thing by just creating this space to take a little time to intentionally talk about families. That's beautiful. That is really, really beautiful.
We have to get back to that, you know, making our families the center of our communities and the role that, it, you know, these institutions and networks, they can never take the place of a real family. And
they can't.
But so I just feel like we've lost touch with what that even means, or how to create a fam.
Yeah.
How to create that for our families, because it's like we only know what we're told by our teachers, or to live the certain constructs that are actually dismantling our families.
Yeah.
So more power to you and me. Let's do it. Let's get out there and share this some more. So thank you so much. And thank you to all my listeners. Thank you for being here. And I like to say this quote at the end of my episodes from Mother Teresa, that if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.